Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Listen, good day to Grenada, Caracou, Piedmont, and those of you listening across the Caribbean. Welcome to Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. It is a joy and a pleasure to be with you once again as we talk matters pertaining to what is happening within the Ministry of Finance and dealing with Caribbean Growth Forum. And I will be speaking to Mr. Fitzroy James, who is the Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation in the Ministry of Economic Development. He's with me in the studio. We'll be talking about what is happening within his department and what is happening across the Caribbean as they talk about growth and development across the region. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back and we continue our discussion here on Inside Finance.
Pure Grenada Music Festival presents six of the biggest names in music, May 5th to 7th at the Port Louis Lawn. Come and experience Terrace Riley, Third World, Queen Ifrika, Cody Chestnut, Mr. Killer and his Fusionistic Evolution, and Ajamu and the Grenadian Gospel Chorale. Tickets per night, $70. VIP, $350. Visit GrenadaMusicFestival.com for more information. Pure Grenada Music Festival, May 5th to 7th. Great music, naturally.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon, and today I welcome you to Inside Finance. With me in the studio is Mr. Fitzroy James, the Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation in the Ministry of Economic Development. Good day to you, Mr. Fitzroy.
Good day to you, Pastor Simon, and it's great to be with you once again on this program.
Well, it is good to have you. Is this your second or third time here with me?
I think this is the third time, the second time in your studio.
Uh-huh.
The first time we actually had it in your mobile studio.
Yes, yes, that is right. Very, very true. So I'm really looking forward in having this discussion with you. But how are you doing, though?
I'm doing fine. I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. And trying to make the best of every day. Mm. And to do as much as we possibly can to promote the development of our country.
But you've been working within the Ministry of Finance for how long now?
I've been with the ministry, this will be the third year. And I've been working with the Economic and Technical Cooperation, looking essentially at working with our development partners and looking at what the types of projects and programs that we can put in place that would really spur and drive the type of growth and job creation that we really would want to see happen
in our country. Now, we're talking about the Caribbean Growth Forum. Now, what is the Caribbean Growth Forum, CGF?
Right. Listeners may know that there was a report in the media during this week that there was a launch of a phase two of the Caribbean Growth Forum. This process really is an initiative by our development partners, which started way back in 2012. And it was in response to the sluggish growth that was recorded in every one of the Caribbean countries. Our development partners, together with our high-level leaders, got together and said, look, what can we really do to stimulate, in particular, private sector-led growth? What are some of the initiatives that we can come up with? And we had a number of our very key development partners, such as the World Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, the Caribbean Development Bank, the DFID, that's the United Kingdom Department for International Development, the CARICOM Secretariat, and the University of the West Indies. They all came together with our leaders and said, look, let us review the situation carefully and see what are some of the actions that we can already take that will stimulate and hopefully drive economic, and not only to drive growth within a short-term period, but to look at the issue of how can you really drive a sustainable growth within the region itself. Mm-hmm. But the CGF itself was designed as a process. And what it was found is that if you are to drive sustainable growth, there must be active citizen engagement. You must have participation mm-hmm. of all sectors of the economy, because the government essentially develops policy and invests in key areas that would facilitate development within the economy as a whole. So if you're going to develop programs, policies, reform, benefit the people, it is important that the people themselves should be engaged in the process. So this is a dialogue, is a public-private dialogue process that was developed, and not only targeted at the individual countries, but also created opportunities for the sharing of experiences.
We're all
quite similar.
So the CGF started how long ago?
Okay, the process actually started in 2012. Sometimes around June of 2012, the leaders of all of the CARICOM countries, together with leaders of those development partners I referred to.
Right, like you referred to, yes.
Right, they came together and they had what they call a high-level meeting. Mm-hmm. At that high-level meeting, it was recognized that there is a lot to be done, but we need to prioritize. What are some of the key areas that we need to address if we have to stimulate growth? The three key areas that were identified were logistics and connectivity. We trade. In order for us to grow economically, we have to trade. And trading involves logistics, air logistics, maritime logistics, and connectivity. We need information age, information technology. We have to maximize the use of technology to connect us and to connect us with the rest of the world. So you had logistics and connectivity. The issue of the investment climate. If you look at private sector investment, how do we stimulate private sector investment? And when we talk private sector investment, we're looking both local investors as well as foreign direct investment. Mm-hmm. What are the policies and programs? And to cap it off, you must have the required skills and productivity in order to really get the efficiencies going in the economy. The skills area is a very critical, in fact, that's the soft area, but it is the area that will drive everything else. If we do not have the required skills, you would find that it is very difficult for us to accomplish the targets that we have set ourselves.
So tell me, now, how does Grenada benefit from participating in Caribbean Growth Forum? What do we get out of this?
Okay, there's quite a lot for us to benefit. Really, first of all, it is a platform to engage all the players.
Mm-hmm.
So it's creating and more or less facilitating the development of that forum. And Grenada has been fortunate in that during the implementation of the homegrown program, the social compact was created where that group of civil society, the civil society, the private sector, trade unions, etc., was formed into a grouping and worked very closely with the government in the implementation of public policies. And in the implementation of the homegrown program, we also saw the homegrown committee again, which had a similar construct. And the whole idea was to ensure that you can really create that platform where the citizens, the people, the public can actually be informed of the policies that the government was undertaking and participating in the implementation and also even in the development and the prioritization. Some key areas we have benefited, one is in the area of knowledge sharing. We've been able to share experiences with our partners because every year the forum organizes a session where they bring together all of the countries and they would sit down and discuss what are some of the issues that are affecting the individual countries. How have they approached dealing with those problems? What are the successes? What are the challenges that they have? So that knowledge sharing is very, very critical. It helps you to avoid making mistakes that have been made and look for new and innovative ways of addressing new problems. Another key area, again, is the issue of prioritization of reforms. Sometimes, as I said earlier, there are a lot of things that everyone wants to see done, but we have limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you apply your limited resources in a way that you can have the maximum impact? So by sitting down with the potential beneficiaries of those reform, you create a framework where you can sit down now and come up with priorities, and hopefully the impact with the effective use of the limited resource that you have, you're likely to have much greater impact. The other area is bringing in that whole spirit of accountability. That is, here you have the public holding the government accountable for the implementation of those reforms. So it creates a public platform where the government said, look, together we sat down and we agree, because it's a dialogue. We agree that these are the priority reforms. We are going to implement these reforms within a particular time frame. We expect certain outcomes from implementing these reforms. Periodically, during the phase one, the government will sit down with the private sector and say, look, this is what we have done. This is what we have accomplished. And those we have not accomplished, this is the reason why we have not accomplished those. And this is what we got.
So it's
accountability.
So accountability and partnership.
Partnership in the process.
Mm-hmm. What is the government role in this big picture, Caribbean Growth Forum, how does the government work together? What role do they play to make this?
Well, the government role is very critical. Because, as we said, government responsibility is to create that enabling environment for businesses to really flourish. So one of government's role, because government don't want to control the process, government is there to facilitate the process and to create the framework for the dialogue to take place in a very open and transparent way. The second role of government is to provide information. In the absence of information, it's difficult to make proper decisions, especially decisions that have national significance. If you're going to dialogue with someone to develop or to modify or to improve or whatever, a reform, the parties that are speaking must be speaking from the same textbook, they must be singing from the same hymn book. They must understand properly the issues and why certain actions are being proposed or not proposed. So information is very critical. So the sharing of information on public policies, public regulations, the government program must be made available to the public so that they know, they understand what is are the issues that the government is grappling with, what are some of the constraints, what has to be dealt with in order for these issues, what are the significance of those issues that are put on the table. Then once the reforms have been prioritized, and this is done in a democratic consultative way, once the reforms that are of the highest priority are identified and agreed upon, then government's role is to implement those reforms, because those a significant amount of these reforms are related to actions by the public sector to facilitate the private sector. Mm-hmm. And then there is a process by which where the stakeholders together with government will sit down, government will present its report. You know, like you come and you report right. on your performance, and the civil society now will then hold you accountable for the performance. So they do a performance review,
right?
To put it in the most simple way.
So there's a dual role between the private sector and government. So the role of the private sector is it much more than government, or it is less? What's the role of the private sector?
In fact, the private sector is just as significant, because ultimately the driver for the growth is expected to come from the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
So one is this is a platform that really holds the government accountable for the use of public resources. The government uses public resources to generate whatever programs that it wants, that it thinks can contribute to the development. So it monitors government's use of public resources to improve service delivery, rights, protect rights, and promote national development and the welfare of the people themselves. In addition, the private sector, and when I say the private sector, I'm including civil society and the churches and everyone, their role is to work with government in terms of prioritization of the reform actions that the government may put on the table, and even to bring forward ideas on new reforms which they think could have probably greater impact than some of the reforms that are currently being conducted. Then the other role is to monitor the implementation of this reform, which means you have to speak regularly, you have to get together regularly and see what is happening. And again, the government is responsible for making available the information in order for them to be able to evaluate how well the reforms are working. And then finally, to hold the government accountable.
Yes.
So it's a very serious...
Oh Lord, we had to hold them accountable.
It's a very, very serious... It's an opportunity and a responsibility. And if you have that opportunity to engage with the public sector and hold them accountable, it must be done in a responsible and constructive way.
So we have the role of government, the role of the private sector. What is the role of civil society in this whole picture?
Well, civil society are among the stakeholders. As I said, the private sector, civil society, the various other institutions, and even academia, they are all beneficiaries of the various reforms and programs that the government is undertaking. So they are all playing that monitoring role and that role of holding the government accountable for the delivery of those reforms. So all sectors of the society are involved, but the delivery is coming from government, and government has to report to the beneficiaries, and the beneficiaries will evaluate how well the government is performing and make recommendations as to how you can improve or else within the program itself.
Okay. All right, folks, good day to you. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Fitzroy James. He is the Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation and Ministry of Economic Development. This is the program Inside Finance. We'll take a word from our sponsor and come back. I would also like to find out with him if the Structural Adjustment Program government is doing now, if the Caribbean Growth Forum is also part and parcel of all that government's happened, seeing that it starts in 2012. So we see what happened. Let's take a break and I'll come back and continue their discussion with him. This is Inside Finance.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs, backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. With me in the studio is Mr. Fitzroy James. He is the Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation in the Ministry of Economic Development. I was just asking the questions just before we go on the break. The homegrown program government is doing now, is that part and parcel of the Caribbean Growth Forum? Is a number of things happening within
not,
there?
Not really. The Caribbean Growth Forum process is complementary to the process that was followed with regard to the use of the social partners, and also the committee responsible for monitoring the implementation of the homegrown program. Now. One among the different targets that the government had set within the framework of the program was performance indicators. One of the performance indicators was our performance in relation to how successful were we with the Caribbean Growth Forum. So it was one of the indicators that was used to determine how successful we were. And I must say that we were quite successful. In fact, under the growth, because that growth forum process actually started before the homegrown program.
Right, in 2012.
In 2012.
In 2012, yeah.
So out of the 44 reforms that were agreed upon between government and the private sector, we were able to, when the program came up for review in 2015, we were able to accomplish 27 out of the 44, which is over 50%.
That's good.
And I think the oldest country that surpassed us was Jamaica. And interestingly, both countries were under homegrown programs. So you see, although the discipline of the program
has helped them to keep in line.
Helped in terms of having that focused attention to implementation of reforms. So the performance was quite good, and what we're looking at is how to build on those performances.
So how has, so you're saying that Grenada has performed well on the phase one?
Yes.
All right, and so we are in a good position, as you rightly said. Grenada has done well, and Jamaica, and we have been able to implement
27
over 50% of the reform. Now, which sector or sectors were impacted most by the Caribbean Growth Forum?
Right, among these sectors, two growth sectors were targeted, the tourism sector and the agriculture sector, because we felt that with impact in those two sectors, it could revive especially targeting the rural areas and creating income and job opportunities. The tourism area focusing on strengthening that linkage between agriculture and tourism was probably one of our real key areas of success among others. What we were able to do is to work with the ministries, the Grenada Tourism Association, the Grenada Hotel and Tourism Association, and individual farmers and farmer groups within the Northeast Cluster, the Northeast of the island, that's in the St. Patrick's, the Northern St. Patrick's area. With support coming from the World Bank, we decided, let's look at a pilot project to demonstrate how can we bring about that linkage, because we've been talking about agriculture tourism linkage for quite a while, and always the focus had been on the agriculture sector simply supplying the tourism sector with produce.
Right.
We said, can we go beyond that? And in developing that pilot, the focus was on creating a product in the Northeast, which not only included the supplying the fruits and vegetables, but also bringing the tourists to the area. For example, River and Twine. They can come to River and Twine. They can go through tours. They can visit the facilities. They can visit the farms in the area. and combined also with the cultural aspects and all other activities that are taking place within the St. Patrick's Nottis cluster. So that cluster was formed involving producers, processors, persons involved in culture, persons involved in tours. And when the tourists know, the visitors go to that St. Patrick's area, they have a complete experience. And it has worked extremely well. In fact, there are a number of other countries that are considering developing that model. In Grenada, we are also looking as we move into phase two to see how we can expand that cluster idea, not only for St. Patrick's, but to move to some of the other parts of the country.
So that leads me to my next question. What is Grenada going to do different in phase two of the Caribbean Growth Forum?
Well, we learned a number of lessons from phase one. And what we want to do is to address a number of the issues that came up during the implementation of phase one. The first is the importance of prioritization. Mm-hmm. 54 reforms, we still felt that let's be more focused. So the decision was taken, two things, be more focused and be more explicit with regard to how the reforms were structured. Mm-hmm. So in preceding the launch of phase two, we had what we call a technical session, where we brought together all the stakeholders over a period of about 4 days. And they went through all of the reforms, that the 44 reforms, and those that we did well and those that we did badly with. And they said, okay, let us come up with a reduced number of reforms, but would have probably more focus than those that we had. So they whittled down from 44 to 27. Mm-hmm. 27 still was felt to be a mouthful still, because we look at reforms that will have maximum impact that can be implemented within a very short period of time, because we want to see things happen quickly. Mm-hmm. And also that will... that the funding can be secured without much difficulties for those projects. So after those 27 were agreed upon, through extensive stakeholder consultation under those three thematic areas, logistics and connectivity, investment, climate and skills and productivity, as a part of the launch process Wednesday the 26th, the stakeholders got together now and took those 27 and said, look, we want to identify six key priorities that could make the greatest impact. So we've now come down to identifying six key priorities that will be focused on by government as we move into phase two. And we're looking at an implementation period of between 12 to 18 months. So at this stage now, we have identified those six.
What are the six?
The six essentially are in the area of... In the area of logistics and connectivity, we'll be looking at the issue of air and maritime services. Again, this is very closely tied into our performance in relation to the Doing Business report. When we look at the performance of the Doing Business report, air and maritime services have significant implication for competitiveness, and it have significant implication for our ability to competitively trade our products. So this, in the view of the stakeholders, was an area that if the government can make progress there, it can make us more competitive. It can have significant impact on the economy and the cost of living. The other areas was the area of energy. You know that we have the whole issue of the dependence on fossil fuel. The government policy essentially is to move away from fossil fuel. We have committed ourselves at the international level to reduction in our carbon footprints, and also to make clean energy more readily available and affordable for the communities. So there would be one of the reforms would be to looking at the cool question of what type of economic and fiscal incentives are there for households, business, etc., to invest more in renewable energy. So these are the first two under logistics. Under the area of the investment climate, the stakeholders agreed that they would focus a lot on the poultry industry. How can we strengengthen the implementation of the poultry policy that was recently approved by cabinet? We all know that the chicken is the biggest import in Grenada, and there are concerns with regard to the extent to which chemicals are used in some of the imported chicken. This is an area that could create significant improvement in terms of employment creation, in terms of health and nutrition, and in terms of driving the economy, input substitution. So we're looking at the poultry industry as a target area because we want to be focused. And in addition, it has agreed that the other area will be looking again continuing progress with regard to agriculture and tourism linkage, strengthening that linkage. Skills and productivity, we want to focus on the youth. how can we get the youth more involved, upgrade the skills of the youth, because we look at the youth as the persons who look for what we call sustainability itself. The young people are very critical to us in that area. Just in summary, more details could be provided.
As we look at it now, and government has done a lot, the private sector, civil society, your department, what happens after the Caribbean Growth Forum is over? And how will the benefits be sustained? Because that's always a problem. People start things, and then after we just dwindle away.
Right. What this CGF would have helped us to do is to strengthen that whole public engagement process. What we intend to do is to continue that process after the CGF is completed. In fact, even discussion with regard to, you have your own Grenada chapter of the Caribbean, of the Grenada Growth Forum, and that framework to maintain and keep that structure of engagement between government and the public in the development of reform, the prioritization and the implementation of reform. So the intent essentially is that that process should be continued. One of the output from the CGF would be creation of what they call a civic observatory. And that civic observatory would be consisting of those same stakeholders who would continue that process of engaging government in development, prioritization, implementation, monitoring of the various reforms that we have. So we intend to have that platform being continued, and we hope that both civil society and government, having seen the positive benefits of the first two phases, and also the success of the social partners and the homegrown committee, would see the benefit of continuing with such a committee, with such an arrangement and engagement.
It's quite a lot that we have covered in the past 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. It is very interesting to listen to what is happening with the Caribbean Growth Forum, because I think two things. One, it helped to pull the region together. And yes. Secondly, it helped the governments of the region to focus, along with the private sector, on specific mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. that would help our country develop. Because you talk about the area that you're doing in St. Patrick's. Yes. That's the Northeast mm-hmm. Corridor, mm-hmm. where you pull a number of things together, where the farmers, the tourist sector, those who do fishing, everybody come together mm-hmm. to be able to provide a good product for the tourism when they come in here to our country.
And you create a model which can be replicated, not only in Grenada, but because one objective of the forum, as I said, is to share experiences.
Right.
So when we have a success, we share it with the other countries. When we had the recent launch, the team also shared with us the experiences in St. Lucia. So right. there might be a good experience in St. Lucia that is replicable here. And we would also be creating a platform, a dialogue platform, where we'd have probably on a bimonthly basis a communication, knowledge sharing between the islands themselves.
To be able to get
as to what has been our experience, what are good lessons, what are challenges we face, how can you help me, how can I help you, who is a champion in one area, how can that champion help the other one.
Okay.
So it also creating that spirit of regionalism and working together.
Wow, it sounds good. I mean, you're excited about it.
Very
I can see it. All right, folks, this is a program of Inside Finance. Mr. Fitzroy James, I really want to thank you for coming and sharing. He is the Director of Economic and Technical Cooperation in the Ministry of Economic Development, Mr. Fitzroy James, talking with us about the Caribbean Growth Forum and what is happening here in Grenada and how that is working across the region. Mr. Fitzroy, thank you so much for coming and sharing. I enjoyed the moment shared with you. I wish you God's blessings, and we'll continue to share information with the general public that they can listen. Folks, you can go to the website sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded, and also to the Ministry of Finance website. This program will be also uploaded there if you want to listen it and share it with someone that they can listen and hear what the government is doing. The Ministry of Finance have a lot going on. As you realize, it's not only accepting your money and spending your money. They have a lot of other things going on, like some of us think. Take care of yourself. I'm Pastor Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed and enjoyable day. Join me here next week at the same time. We do this all over again right here on Inside Finance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.